Благодарим. We thank you on behalf of everybody. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. Certain students, certain men, certain brothers in Christ stand out. If you've ever been a teacher in a classroom setting of any kind, you know that sometimes there are certain students who just really stand out. 13 years ago, I had the privilege of teaching a class of Russian brothers in the city of Samara, Russia. And there was this one certain student who really stood out. To this day, he stands out in my life, not as a student, but as a brother in Christ and as a man who is filled to the full with the joy of Jesus Christ. That brother is Andrei Zubarev. His wife, Nila, just led the group. She was sitting here in the front row, but she led the group of singers, and two of his daughters participated in singing to us. Where's your son? Where's Stjop? He's working today. Aha. Andrei's family, when we moved to Russia in the year 2000, Andrei's family took us in, Denise, myself, and the two boys, took us in as part of their family. They already had eight children. Andrei's dad has eight kids. Andrei is one of eight. But they took us in, so they added four more. That made it an even 12, an even dozen. And they really did take us into their family. They invited us to birthday parties, which were about every other week, and to meals, and they just made us feel much at home. Andrei was one of my language instructors. The other was his, let's see, big sister? Yeah, she's your older sister, right? The other was his big sister, Irina. So, oh, she's younger. Okay, your little sister. So we were greatly blessed to have Andrei and his family take us in. It's a great joy and privilege for all of us to have him preach the word to us this morning. Brother Andrei, please preach to us.
Church of God, greetings to you from Slavic Bible Church in Colorado Springs. It's really a great joy for me to be here with you today. And I'm not preaching usually in English, so it's not usual experience for me, but I hope God can use what I can say today and we can study the word together. You know what? I really admire the work of a surgeon. When you only think that one person can get deep into another person and help him somehow, it's just simply amazing to me. But when I'm thinking about a heart surgeon, then it goes even further, even beyond my any comprehension or understanding. I understand that a heart surgeon, he touches the most vital organ in a human's body. Can you imagine, like, cutting the heart and sews the heart and just sometimes even replacing the heart? And it's something what I can't even understand, how people can do that. After that, people can still live. Actually, for some of the people, if they will not replace their heart, they will probably not be able to live. So this is really something going beyond my comprehension. But you know what? Today we're going to study the text that says that some people need a heart surgery. It's like those people who were in Jesus' days when, remember, we remember this day today because when Jesus was going to Jerusalem, a lot of people were standing around and crying, Hosanna! Hosanna to the King of Judea. But a few days later, the same crowd, same people were crying out, Crucify him. Those people had unchanged heart. Those people had really hard hearts that actually needed a surgery. So we're going to study today a text from Mark chapter 3. And I want us to read that text, Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And we read that he entered, meaning Jesus entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, Get up and come forward. And he said to them, Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? but they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. So that's the text. I know that you already went through the Gospel of Mark with Pastor John, and you probably remember that. At that point of Jesus' life and ministry, Pharisees showed that they didn't like absolutely what Jesus was teaching and what he was doing. They knew that Jesus was looking absolutely different, and they were trying to find something to accuse him in front of other people. And if you probably remember, probably not all of you remember, because I'm always telling my people, sometimes I can't remember what I was preaching a couple months ago. I'm not expecting that you can remember all of that. But if we'll go back a little bit, like to chapter 2 of Mark, you can read there about the paralytic being healed. Also, you can read there about the call of Levi or Matthew, and also about another instance on the Sabbath. And during all of these events, Pharisees and scribes show that Jesus didn't do what they used to do. He was not behaving like they used to behave. He wasn't doing what they used to do at that point. And because of that, the opposition from them was growing constantly. And reading the Gospels, you can see that that opposition was kind of growing day by day. And almost every day, Pharisees, scribes, or somebody else from their group were trying to find something against Jesus. They tried to dispute with Jesus. But every time, Jesus answered so well that they didn't have anything to reply. And we know that Jesus showed how the religion of Pharisees and scribes became just an outward behavior, became just an outward religion, you know, that self-righteous religion. When people just live hypocritically, and they just do it because of they got used to do that. And in the text that we just read with you right now, we see that Jesus again entered into a synagogue. And despite all the opposition from Jewish leaders, Jesus continues to do what he came to do for. He came to preach, and he preaches here. We see that he came to the synagogue, and he was preaching. We know that from the parallel text that Jesus was preaching in the synagogue. He was teaching other people. And we see that among all the people, we see that there were Pharisees. They are always near, and they always sought how they can trap Jesus. I want to point your attention to the verse 5 right now. In verse 5, we read that Jesus grieved at their hardness of heart. Their hearts, the hearts of Pharisees in this point, were so hard and unresponsive. So Jesus grieved about that. And when I was studying this text, I found that there are serious dangers of a hard heart. And I think it's important for us to know what these dangers are, because not only Pharisees can be with a hard heart, actually, people among us can be with the same hearts. As I said, people that were greeting Jesus on the way to Jerusalem, at some point, they were saying, "Hosanna! Greetings to King." Next day, they were saying absolutely different words. And that what actually concerns me a lot, because sometimes people can be in the church. People can be here. People can hear the word. People can sing one day, but other day they can go out and do absolutely unthinkable things. So let us study what are the dangers of the heart, and how we can not be in the same position. So the first thing, or the first danger we see here, that the heart doesn't see and doesn't hear anything good. The first thing, heart doesn't see and doesn't hear anything good. And we read in verse 1 that Jesus entered into synagogue and a man was there whose hand was withered. It means that there in the synagogue was a man whose hand was damaged and it didn't function properly. Luke, the author of the other gospel, Luke being a doctor, he notes in his gospel that that was the right hand of man. And most likely he noticed that because most of the people are right-handed. And it means that probably or most likely this person somehow damaged his hand and now he wasn't able to work and provide for himself and for his family. By the way, there's an old tradition that says that this person was a mason or bricklayer, and when he damaged his hand, he had to beg after that. Though I can't claim it's a truth for 100%. I'm not sure because you can't rely on traditions a lot. But anyway, this person, we can understand that this person had a real need. And we know that Jesus is always ready to respond to the needs of people. And we actually know that this Gospel of Mark was written to show Jesus as a servant. To show that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and even to give life for the others. So, and we read here that Jesus is ready to respond to the need of people. Though, it's really interesting to see what Pharisees were doing at that point. Check it out. Pharisees were watching him in verse 2 to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. The word watching literally means to watch closely, to observe scrupulously. And Acts 9:24, the same word used when it says that some people were watching the gates day and night to so they might seize Paul at that time and kill him. And our text says that Pharisees were watching Jesus closely so that they might accuse him. You know what? This is indeed a hard heart. Jesus teaches the truth about the kingdom of God. He preaches in a synagogue. Jesus performs the deeds that no one else can do ever. But a hard heart doesn't see and doesn't hear anything good. They were sitting there just to trying to trap Jesus. All what a hard heart want to do is trying to find something bad and trying to trap in something. And you know what? Today can be the same. Have you ever met people who come to the church just to see what other people wear, just to listen what other people say, or just to watch how other people behave? You know what? These people come to the church, but with a different reason. They come to the church just to find a reason for judgment. They don't see anything good. They don't hear anything good. They don't see anything good in the children of God. They don't want to see how the children of God grow and change and so on. They don't see anything of that. They have a hard heart. Though there's another danger of a hard heart, and it's a second danger. And secondly, hard heart doesn't accept confrontation. A hard heart doesn't accept confrontation. Let's read verses 3 and 4 again. Look what it says. He, meaning Jesus, said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they kept silent. As we already said, while Jesus was teaching, Pharisees were there and they were thinking only one thought. They were thinking, will he do something? Will he do something with that person who has withered hand? Will he do something that we can accuse him? And Jesus, being a great God, he knew perfectly what these people were thinking about. And he could have said, well, I don't want to have another confrontation with these Pharisees. I'll just leave that person with a withered hand for next time. I'll meet him for sure some other day. I can heal him not just on Monday, maybe on Sunday. I shouldn't do that on Saturday. I shouldn't do that on Sabbath. I can do it any other day. But we see that Jesus is not doing like this. He wants to condemn their self-righteous religion of works. He wants to condemn their hypocrisy. And he wants to do it so that the other people would see and would know it. Because Pharisees were the teachers of Israel. And they need to be rebuked in the presence of all. That's why Jesus tells the man, get up, come forward. Kind of come forward to the center so everyone would be able to see you. He wants people to see that person, and he wants people to have compassion to that person, because that person probably was poor. That person probably had to beg, and he wants people to have compassion over this person. And after that, he asks Pharisees a few questions. He says, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? I think it's absolutely clear questions. You can't ask more clearly. But Jesus sort of saying, you make yourself, Pharisees, you make yourself Sabbath keepers. You are trying to do anything possible to keep the Sabbath, but look what you are doing. I want to help this person, says Jesus, but what about you? You are ready to spend the whole Sabbath sitting here, the whole Sabbath just trying to find something to accuse me. So, what do you need to do on the Sabbath? And next question goes even deeper. With that question, Jesus is saying, I'm ready to save this person. I'm ready to save his life. And you are ready to spend the whole Sabbath sitting here just to find the reason how to kill me. And in parallel text in Matthew 12, verses 11 and 12, Jesus says, what man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and fill it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? Dear friends, Jesus asks these questions because the answers to this question is so obvious. And you know what? Pharisees understood what Jesus is trying to tell them. They understood that he rebuked them, Pharisees, he rebuked them in breaking the Sabbath. And that's why when he was asking them, they didn't answer anything. They kept silent. They didn't say anything. They didn't say after the words of Jesus, oh, Jesus, that's right. We were misled. We were the ones who break the Sabbath. Because the law never said that you can help the person on the Sabbath. The law never said that you cannot do anything good on the Sabbath. The law says that you just need to separate that day from your regular work. But what we've done, we just were wrong. But you see, Pharisees never said that. Never. Because a hard heart doesn't accept confrontation. And you know what? The same can happen today. Same can happen with a person who comes to the church. He can hear the Word of God. And the Word of God exposes the sin of a person. But the person doesn't want to change anything. He wants to stay where he is. He doesn't want to change anything. He doesn't want to be confronted by the Word of God. And it's a sign of a hard heart. There's another danger of a hard heart that we can find in this text. And thirdly, I can say that God's anger is against a hard heart. God's anger is against a hard heart. Look at verse 5 again. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. You know what? this is the only place in all the Gospels where it's directly said that Jesus was full of anger. The only place. And we know that Jesus was full of anger when he drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple. Though it doesn't say exactly in the text that he was full of anger, because this is the only text. The only text where it says that Jesus was full of anger. And we see that he looked around at them with anger. He was looking right into the eyes of Pharisees, and he was full of righteous anger of holy God. Hebrews 10, verses 28 through 31 says really, really important words. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And dear friends, we should understand that a hard heart doesn't make God compassionate. A hard heart calls God anger on itself. God's anger is against a hard heart. And Jesus said in Matthew 23, it's a really interesting chapter, verses 13 through 15, I will read. And Jesus says, "Woe to you." Let's read Matthew 23, verses 13. "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people. For you do not enter in yourself, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers, therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." And Jesus continues at least 8 times. He says, "Woe to you. Woe to you, hypocrites." It's just your external religion. All what it is just external. It's nothing from inside. Woe to you. And you know what? Today, a person with a hard heart can leave. He doesn't accept the truth. He doesn't accept the confrontation. And he even doesn't see any consequences of that life. But we should know. We should know that these people in a really bad position. Person with a hard heart is in a really bad position, because the wrath of God is ready to be poured out at that person in any time. And that's what Bible says. We can see book of John, Gospel of John, John 3:36. Jesus says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Romans 1:18, another really, really clear text says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And you know what? There are much more texts that say about the wrath of God to be that is ready to be poured out on a person who doesn't submit himself to God. But there is another last danger of a hard heart in this text. And fourthly, I would say the hard heart is ready to do unthinkable. The hard heart is ready to do unthinkable. Look at verse 6. "The Pharisees went out and immediately began to conspire with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. You know what? This is an expected result for a hard, unrepentant heart. Pharisees went out of synagogue, and they were filled with rage. And parallel text, Luke 6:11 says that they were filled with rage. And this word, filled with rage, meaning literally means to lose mind or to lose an ability to reason. All what they do after that described as a lack of reasoning. You can see that even that, what they're doing right now, they immediately began to conspire with Herodians, with the party that supported Herod. At that point, they began to build a plot with them. And we know that at any other time, Pharisees would never want to have anything with that party, with the Herodians. Never, ever. But they're ready to do unthinkable. And not only that, also we see that they were conspiring against Jesus as how they might destroy him. And we know that they didn't have absolutely any reason to condemn Jesus or to kill him or to destroy him. Though you see, a hard heart is ready to do unthinkable. They're ready to jump all over. They're ready to jump through all the laws they had just to destroy what they don't like. They're ready to do unthinkable. And that's a hard heart. And you know what? Today people do the same. People with a hard heart come to church, and when they're confronted by the truth, they're ready to do what they would never do ever. They're ready to kill Christians. And maybe it's not in this country, but you can go in any other country. People go to the church, they're confronted by the truth, and they're ready to kill Christians. They don't like this message. They don't like what they've heard. They're ready to burn down the church buildings. They're ready to mock all over the truth. And you know what? This is happens because people have a hard heart. But I have a question. How the heart becomes so hard? How it becomes so deaf to the truth? What we should do so we never become like this. How's that? And for this reason, I would like to read pretty extensive text from Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, we'll read from verses 18 through the end of the chapter. Romans 1, verses 18 through the end of the chapter. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in their lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, worshipped and served the creature rather than Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the man abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, man with man committing indecent acts and receiving in their own person the due penalty of their error. And just as they didn't see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Three times in this text we read that God gave them over. God gave them over to something really bad for not worshiping Him. Dear friends, I want to say that every person comes to this world with a hard heart. And every person needs a heart surgery. Heart surgery that can be done only by God. Only God can change the heart. And if person throughout his life, knowing that there is God, and this text that we just read says that every person knows that there is God. If person knowing that there is God, not worship Him as God, but persist in his ungodliness, God gives him over to something worse. And if we continue to read Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds." Ephesians, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, he says, So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Dear friends, all these texts says that first and the most important reason of a hard heart, it's unrepentant heart. The heart that wasn't changed by God. It's the heart that, as I said, still needs that surgeon. It's the heart that needs God to work on that heart. So therefore, I want to say, if you see some of these dangers in your heart, you probably should ask yourself, am I really a child of God? Am I really saved by His grace? Though, a certain hardness can be among even believers when they have unrepentant sin. So the person, a believer, who has unrepentant sin can have all the signs of unbelieving hard heart. That person can be in the church. He can be here. And he probably may not hear the truth. He's here, but because of the hardness of the heart, he may not hear the truth. He may not accept confrontation. He can even do unthinkable, and doing so, God's punishment is on this person. As you probably remember, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes that quite a lot of you are became sick or ill, and pretty a lot of you are dying. Why is that? Because you are participating in the Lord's table, in the Lord's communion, in an unworthy manner. And you're not repenting of that. So unrepentant sin leads to God's punishment. And that's why we actually have church discipline. That's why the church discipline should help this person who got a hard heart because of their unrepentant sin to see that sin and to repent in that sin. But I want to call every one of us right now. Dear friends, we should look into our hearts. And we should check our hearts. Do we have any hardness in our hearts? Do we have any signs of that crowd that was cheering about Jesus entering to the Jerusalem one day, and a few days later, their hearts were absolutely in a different place? We should check our hearts and look into them. When I'm in the church, what am I doing here? Am I really hear the word of God? Am I really want to know what God is telling me? Or I'm coming just because I got used to. I got used to go to the church. I got used to be among the believers. I got used to do what everyone else doing. I got used to that. Though, if I don't have to, I will never do that. And that's a sign. That's a really bad sign. A sign of a hardness in our heart. So we should check our hearts. And if we see anything of these, if we see any of these signs, we should run toward God. We should run with prayer and repentance and ask Him to change our heart and make our hearts soft. Only God can do that. And the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, I didn't get that quote, but I want to say that that chapter says that God, only God can give us soft heart. He can take our rocky heart, that stone-made heart, and put a really fleshly heart, soft heart. So, dear friends, if we see anything of that, if we see anything of these signs, let's run toward God. Let's ask God, God, change my heart. God, change me. I want to be your child. I want to be the one that you can use. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it's such a great opportunity for us to study your word. And we thank you so much for the word you left for us, that we can read it and study and see that sometimes there can be a hard heart. And we understand that it's so dangerous to have a hard heart. So dangerous because we know that this kind of heart will always have consequences. So I ask you, Lord, please help us to look into our hearts right now and to see what we have in our hearts. What kind of hearts do we have? Is that a really hard hearts made of stone? Or is it really soft hearts that are ready to receive your words, to receive your confrontation, to receive everything you say? Let us see what we need to change in our lives, and let us not wait, but run to you. Run for help. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.